Good morning to everyone. It's good to see you this morning. I'm glad to see that so many people made it and braved the cold. And you guys are the remnant. You guys are the chosen few, if you know what I mean. Just kidding. But no, you guys are the people that really value the family of God. And I'm fine. If people are watching online, that's great and stuff. But I just am so blessed that this many people chose to take the risk or whatever, to come out into fellowship. It's cold outside, it's warm in here, and hopefully we'll have some warm fellowship this morning as we gather around this idea of Proverbs, or the wisdom of God. This is not just some cliche saying or anything that somebody conjured up and it's catchy. This is wisdom from God. This is divinely inspired wisdom for life. Wisdom makes a difference between life and death. Wisdom can make the difference between qualitative living and just kind of bumping up against the pricks, on and on. And you know, wisdom is this kind of thing that you have to kind of incubate it for your whole life, because you can't just push a button on the microwave and get zapped with wisdom. I know that's the culture we live in. We live in a culture that likes to have stuff really quick, really fast, whether it's pleasure, whether it's money, whatever it is. Just give it to me quick in a couple seconds. I can barely wait on that. But wisdom takes a long time to get. And Proverbs says, if you've been taking this challenge this last year, you've read this a few times, that wisdom, like even the wise learn from wisdom, or from understanding. The wise keep learning. So it's a lifelong journey, kind of, in growing in wisdom. And God, in His great grace, has divinely given primarily Solomon, but there's other men that He's given this kind of keen insight, so that we can be welcomed into this journey of gaining wisdom and gaining understanding in this qualitative life that will eventually allow us to inherit the earth, as the one proverb says. But I have a little video I want to show just to kind of introduce this sermon series on wisdom. Just letting you know, it's not this quick cliche thing. It's not this push a button, you got it. But it takes some time. Go ahead, Sam.
What this is? No, not the Corinthian column, the microwave. I'm not even sure I remember a life without one. The heating effect of microwaves was discovered accidentally in 1945. Percy Spencer, an engineer from Maine, was building magnetrons for radar sets for Raytheon. He was working on an active radar set when he noticed that a peanut chocolate bar he had in his back pocket started to melt. How? The radar had melted his chocolate bar with microwaves. The first food to be deliberately cooked by one of these puppies? Popcorn. The second was an egg, which exploded in the face of one of the experimenters. It's a staple in every modern home today. We use them to heat and reheat, cook from scratch, and thaw out the frozen. Why? Because it's fast. A proverb of the week comes from chapter 11, verse 18. Evil people get rich for the moment, but the reward of the godly will last. Are you after the fast buck? The quick fix, the easy way to the top? It will not last. Only following God, loving Him, living for Him will bring a lasting, eternal reward. The world is folly, but wisdom is foolproof. Live wisely, my friends.
Live wisely, my friends. And what better time than right at the threshold of a new year? What better time than just to choose, to make a decision that I am going to apply my heart to wisdom? And that song we were saying about refiner's fire, I choose to be holy. So there's a certain level of choices we make in life, and there's choices we make that will either make or break us, or lead us to life, or lead us to death, or lead us to good life, or lead us to a difficult life. And I'm just inviting you to just take this journey of wisdom seriously this year, and resolve, if you started last year and, hey, I'm going to read Proverbs chapter a day, or just start going through those chapters, and you kind of lost steam after a couple weeks, like so many New Year's resolutions do, there's a great opportunity to start afresh, to start new. We are right on the kind of crux of it. Brand new year, a fresh start, a free new opportunity. Because wisdom, it says in the book of Proverbs, it says that wisdom, though it costs all you have, get wisdom. Even though it's better than gold, the purest gold is what it says. You can't compare. There's not a dollar sign that can compare it to what wisdom can do. Wisdom can give you qualitative life. Money can give you a lot of things, a lot of kind of quick pleasure, whatever. That's kind of the microwave version. But if you want a qualitative life that leads to kind of abundant and even eternal life as you follow Christ, who is the foundation of all wisdom, then this is the journey you should take. And in fact, in Proverbs, it says that before the mountains were made, wisdom was established. So this is something that these nuggets of wisdom in the book of Proverbs have this kind of eternal significance or the eternal impact, or it's been established before the world was even established. And so it's a great journey to go on. It's an endless journey because you can get wiser and wiser and wiser. You can't ever get to the end and say, ha, I have the degree. I know wisdom and I've learned everything there is to know about wisdom. That's impossible. So there's a couple things I want to say just to give some context for the book of Proverbs, because I'm kind of setting up the series. I'll let the heavy hitters come back and like give you the wisdom, actually. But I'm just kind of setting it up, if you know what I mean. But it's going to be a little different this morning. You might have noticed two tables in the back with some post-it notes and Sharpies. Don't worry, I won't ask you to write your own wisdom down and post it. But it's going to be a little different. In fact, look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be a little different this morning. Just so we all know that it's going to be a little different. We're going to go on a ride. It's not going to be this kind of typical. I know it's a big surprise that I'm doing something different. It's like the first time I've done it. It's going to be a lot different. Even more different than usual. How about that? So just thinking of the transition from this joyous season of Christmas and all the festivities stuff to the new year and then on from there, we're going to take and partway through the sermon, I'm going to take some time and you're going to think of something that some joyful thing in your life, and you're going to write it on the post-it back there on the table, and then we're going to have a few runners to run it out to that joy sign out in the foyer. We're just going to post a bunch of joyous things around that, and then we're going to have the church come together, and if you want to go get some joy, then go read everybody else's joy. It'll be fun. It'll be the wall of joy. So, just to let you know, it's going to be a little different. And it's also different in that wisdom is not this book of commands, or Proverbs is not this book of commands. It's a little different. It's a different genre of scripture than we typically preach from. You say, what in the world is genre of scripture? Well, just like you have music, you have classical, you have Southern gospel, you have Christian contemporary, some Christian rock, and you have the pop, you have the whatever. You have a lot of different genres of music. And so when you go to listen to classical music, you come to it with that kind of knowledge that I'm coming to some classical music rather than some hip-hop or something else. And so when we come to Scripture, there's different genres of Scripture. We read these genres differently. So, for example, in the New Testament, we have the letters. Those are mostly Paul's letters and a few other guys that wrote letters. We have the Gospels, the first four books of the Bible, and the Acts of the Apostles, and Revelations. Those are the genre of Scripture in the New Testament. And then in the Old Testament, we have narrative, we have law, and then we have poetry, which is the Psalms, and then we have the prophets, the major and the minor prophets, and then we have the wisdom literature. And so that's the genre of Scripture. When we come to those different books, we don't read Proverbs in the same way we read Genesis. We don't read Psalms in the same way as we read the Gospels. It's a different genre of Scripture. And so when we come to Proverbs, we have to just recognize this is wisdom literature. This is not a book where you'll find a lot of these and thous and like thou shalt not or thou definitely shalt. This is a book that's addressing situations in life that are normally true. It doesn't have commands in Proverbs. It's meant to kind of perk the reader's attention or to grab the reader's attention so that his mind is stimulated to think about this truth, that this timeless wisdom that's buried in this text. It's not thou shalt not or thou shalt. We have some that would almost suggest that there's commands, but yet they're addressing normal situations in life that are normally true. So for example, train up your children the way they should go, and when they are old, they won't depart. That would tend to suggest that that's definitely true every single time. But that's not exactly true, because I know some really good parents that have raised their kids in a way that they should go, and when they were older, they did, in fact, depart from the ways they should have gone. Although there's this principle, or there's this wisdom in kind of ingrained in that statement, in that if you train up a child in the way they should go, when they're older, they're not going to forget about the training that they were given when they're young. They might make their own decisions and go their own way, but it's not saying that if you do everything right as a parent, your child will definitely just be perfect and go to church for their life, whatever. So it's just important to remember that we're in wisdom literature. And by the way, wisdom literature in the scriptures include Proverbs, Job, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Songs. That's typically, most commentators or most scholars would include those. Some people debate Job, but most people would say that that's included in wisdom literature. So when we think about Proverbs too, we have to remember that some of these nuggets of wisdom are like pretty simple, if I can say that. Although we can't exhaust any scripture ever, but some of them are just pretty kind of like surface value, if you know what I mean. For example, in Proverbs 10:12, we see that it says hatred stirs up anger. Really? Well, thank you very much. I already got that. But yet it's true. It's right. It's a nugget of wisdom. How about this one? This is another kind of standard or simple one. Gossip portrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Well, yeah, that makes sense. That's 11:13. But then there's some proverbs that just like, kind of like, what does that mean? Or like, is that really true? Or what's going on there? And one example of that is in 22:4. It seems to suggest that the humble, God gives wealth to the humble. And it's like, wow, wait a minute. The prosperity gospel, that's not right. There's something wrong with that, and that is right. Like, prosperity gospel is false. It's built on bad theology. But this proverb seems to suggest that wealth comes to the humble. But if you take the book as a whole, if you understand Proverbs, the wealth that's probably talking about there isn't monetary wealth. It's later on it talks about the wise, I think it's in chapter 2, verse 20 or 22, where it talks about the wise will inherit the earth, or like will be inheriting the earth. And so the wealth that's talking about that seems to kind of run deeper than just these kind of surface level nuggets. That's speaking of qualitative life. Like money can't buy happiness. Money can't buy qualitative life, but wisdom can, or humility can. And so some of these proverbs, like I said, are surface level, simple, easy to understand. And some of them you have to just kind of dig in and try to understand what the person is trying to say. Most of Proverbs, and I'm still just giving context, most of my sermon is context, just so you understand, but be thinking about that joy that you want to establish on the post-it and post, because that's an act of wisdom right there, is to reflect and be joyful about what God has done. So we're actually going to practice wisdom. A couple more comments on the book of Proverbs is that, so Solomon is the author of most of the book, and so the first part of the book, it's kind of divided into thirds. We have chapter 1 through 9, where it's like an introduction to the book. It's like trying to grab the reader's attention, trying to say how incredibly important this wisdom is. It's a father talking to a young man, saying, hey, this is really important. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. And then he says, verse 7 in the first chapter, he says, the beginning, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Like, that's the foundation. That's where you start wisdom. That's how, where you start your journey, is the fear of the Lord. And then it gives the contrast, which a lot of Proverbs does this contrasting thing, because sometimes it's easy to define what the good is by defining what the bad is, and so it's easier to kind of clarify. But we have in chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools, which is the contrast, that's the natural state of humanity without God's wisdom, is to be a fool. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we have two options. We have this, the fear of the Lord that is the foundation of the beginning of knowledge, but the other side of that is the fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you have a choice. You have a choice to be wise, or you have a choice to be foolish just by default. You don't necessarily choose to be foolish, but by choosing not to be wise, you by default render yourself as a fool, because there's these kind of two options. And by nature, we are foolish because of our kind of broken human tendencies. So we have this big introduction, 9 chapters, the man, the father talking to his son, and then at the end of the book we have a mother that's, in chapter 31, we have a mother that's telling her daughter what it looks like to be a perfect wife, or what the kind of ideal wife looks like. And then from chapters, the end of chapter 9 all the way through to 31, we have just a bunch of wisdom. We have just so much wisdom unpacked. And remember, Solomon, he was given wisdom from God, and he wrote just so many wise things, so many wise things. And his time was about 930 BC, so about 1,000 years before Christ. And he just wrote lots of wisdom. And the book we have of Proverbs does not contain all of his wisdom. In fact, it was kind of scattered, and it was just like wisdom, all sorts of Solomonic wisdom out there. And then during the reign of King Hezekiah in 715, he reigned from 715 to 686 BC. During that time is when he said, hey, wait, we've got a lot of wisdom from Solomon, but it's just kind of scattered all around. So he had some men collect wise sayings, or the wise sayings of Solomon and a few other men, and that's what we have in the book of Proverbs. So for several hundred years, Solomon's wisdom was sort of scattered, but then Hezekiah and his men collected the wisdom, and that's what we have in the book of Proverbs today. And by God's grace, he preserved that so that we know how to do life well. As broken humanity, we can become transformed. We can become more and more like him as we enjoy his wisdom that he divinely gave us. So like I said, wisdom, and I want to go through the first several verses more closely, but this seems like a good time to just consider joy, because there's this Proverbs in this nugget of wisdom in 10:28, chapter 10:28, where it says, the prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hopes of the wicked comes to nothing. So the prospects of the righteous is joy. And that's what we're going to do this morning. Right after I tell you a proverb that I was thinking about the other morning, you know, has anybody ever got up with great ideas to go to the gym, or great plans to go run 3 miles or something, and you just get tired in bed? Anybody want to admit that you aspired to work out and then you didn't? Okay, very few, but that's great. How about this? Proverbs, this is for fun, by the way. Proverbs 28, and this is taking it way out of context, but for fun, I'm going to do that. Proverbs 28, verse 1 says, the wicked run, though no one pursues. And so I thought about that when I was going to go running the other morning, and I thought, I don't want to do that. The wicked run, though no one pursues. Anyway, it's a joke. Hey, let's think about joy just a little bit. It's going to be different. Like I said, it's going to be different. We're going to go, just get up from your seat. There's two tables straight back. There's Post-its. There's markers. I'm going to ask a few people, not everybody. Maybe, Jimmy, if your boys want to run the Post-its out to the joy sign out in the foyer after you're done, just kind of write it, pull it off, and give it to them, and they'll run it out and stick it on the wall. And later you can come back after the service and see what's going on in people's lives as far as joy. So just write something joy. This is a transition from the joyful season of Christmas into wisdom for life, because it's His truth, it's His wisdom, our life. So let's be joyful, be wise by being joyful. Get up, stand up right now, go. It's going to be different. Get up, go get a marker, post it, write something joyful, and I'll pull you back together in just a minute. So what I mean by something joyful, what are you grateful for? You find joy in something attitude of gratitude. So something you're thankful for, something that gives you joy, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your PlayStation, I don't know what brings you joy, but write something that brings joy to your heart. Thank you so much for working with the program. I know I'm a little different than some people, but thanks for doing that for me. I'm going to read a few verses that have to do with joy, but keep going. So the scriptures say in James 1, 2 and 3, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. The prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hopes of the wicked comes to nothing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. So that's my desire. You can finish up there and find your seat again. Thanks again for joining me in that exercise. That's my desire for all of us, that our joy may be complete. As we gain wisdom, as we attain wisdom, as we seek wisdom, even though it costs all we have, that our joy would become more and more complete in Christ as we grab this wisdom that comes from God. So just a few, I'm going to go down through the first seven verses of this chapter. And so again, like I said, there's kind of thirds. And so the first third of the book is an introduction. It's grabbing your attention. The last two-thirds of the book is basically unpacking wisdom. Here it is. Here are the nuggets that I spoke one-third of the book about how important it is to gather this stuff. And in fact, within the introduction, we have this kind of bookends. Like I said, verse 7 of the first chapter, it says, the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Then we have a verse in chapter 9 that's virtually the same thing in the beginning. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So it's virtually, it's unpacking it. It doesn't give the contrast like the first one there in the first chapter, but it's virtually saying the same thing. And that's like the bookends of the introduction, just saying, hey, this is really, really important. So the first couple verses, if you have your Bibles or your phone, let's go down through the first seven verses, because I really, this is kind of the succinct introduction to the book. But then the rest of the chapter in chapter 1 just talks about the benefits of wisdom. Like, this is why you need it, man. This is why it's so important. But let's think about the purpose and the theme of the book. In verse 2 there, we'll jump right in there. It says, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight. So if you become confused about life, sometimes it's good just to to kind of gain more understanding, or to come to understand more things, or things become clarified. And this is what Proverbs is for. This is the purpose of this study. For receiving instruction in prudent behavior, for doing what is right, just, and fair. And so along with wisdom comes justice. Along with wisdom comes fairness in life. And then going on, verse 4, to for giving prudence to those who are simple. So if you're simple and you want to gain prudence, this is your ticket. Knowledge and discretion for the young, or to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Remember, the wise have more wisdom to gain. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. And then the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. A couple more comments I just want to make through that chapter. We have a reference of sowing and reaping. And that's so, so true when it comes to Proverbs, or when it comes to nuggets of wisdom. You can't expect to sow a seed today and just be wise tomorrow. You can't push the mic away. But you got to plant, you got to integrate disciplines into your life, establish rhythms in your life that will allow you to grow in wisdom and allow you to gain understanding. And then we have this verse down through this chapter. We have wisdom raises her voice. Let me see. Verse 20. First chapter, verse 20. Let me see here. Yeah. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public squares. So what he's saying there is that there is wisdom to be gained just by watching people, just by listening to people and considering how things are going. There's wisdom to be gained out in the public squares, out in wherever you might be. And, you know, as you watch people, as you hear people live life, there is a lot of wisdom to be gained just by seeing, okay, so this person made these choices, and now, in fact, I know this one guy that has made a lot of foolish choices. He followed the natural propensity, or a natural inclination, or natural tendencies that he had. This poor guy's got kids in several states. He's not married. He's just, it's a mess. It's a mess. He's in court, in and out of court. But he followed just his natural tendencies. He didn't apply wisdom to his heart. So you can learn wisdom by watching people. It's crying out in the streets. How about this? And I'm picking on these kind of whatever comes after millennials right now. But if you're ever a pilot when it's really cold, and here comes this nice SUV or whatever, these kids on a road trip, and it's like 1 degrees outside, and they get out of the car in their slides and like a little sweatshirt hoodie or something, just like that's going to keep them warm if they get stuck beside the road. That's not wisdom. That's foolishness, I think. But that's not speaking so much of the kind of spiritual things that we're speaking of. That's just common sense. But we can gain wisdom by watching people. And it's a great time of year to consider wisdom. It's a great time of year to apply your heart to wisdom, to make some decisions today. I choose today to integrate or to incubate wisdom, or to digest wisdom, or to pursue wisdom, whatever it looks like. Whether you got to buy the book or the commentary, I don't know how you learn. Some people learn better by watching, or some people learn better by reading. So however, the Proverbs says, though it costs all you have, gain understanding. And so we have these kind of couple other comments before I wrap things up here. We have these kind of words that mean pretty much the same thing, but a little bit different. It's used kind of interchangeably throughout the book of Proverbs, which is wisdom, understanding, prudence. We have knowledge. And sometimes people ask me, what's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? And I think the simple response to that, or the way I think of that, is wisdom is basically knowledge applied. Because there's one thing to know a lot of things about a lot of like facts and stuff, but you might know the person that straight A's all the way through school, but just kind of relationally a little awkward and doesn't really apply what they know. So wisdom, I like to think of that as knowledge applied. Understanding is just kind of ability to understand what's going on in situations. And so there's a lot of overlap within these words that are used interchangeably, but there's a little bit nuances in those. And just another thing I want to say is that wisdom, or the book of Proverbs, is a lot more than just the intellectual ability of a person. It's more, I would say it's more of a spiritual attitude or disposition than somebody's ability to remember or think about things. It's this kind of humility, or this this ability to be humble and have this kind of proper attitude or spiritual attitude towards God. And so, just as a reminder, Proverbs are nuggets of truth from the inspired by Almighty God, divinely inspired. There before the earth was created, and they're meant to perk your attention. They're meant to grab your attention so that your thinking can be stimulated in a way that will give you a qualitative life, give you a better life than what you had last year. And so my challenge for you this year, it's a time of new beginnings. It's a time of new starts. Apply wisdom to your heart, though it costs all you have. Let's go for it. Let's be wise. Wisdom, the foundation of wisdom is Christ. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning. That's the starting point. You got to start with Christ. You got to start with the fear of the Lord. And that will give you a firm foundation to grow your wisdom. And remember, even if you're up here, the wise listen and they learn even more. You can never exhaust wisdom. And so you always want to keep gaining wisdom. It's a journey rather than a destination that you're after. I have one more video to show. It's just kind of an introduction to the new year, new opportunities. You are creating who you're going to be. This last year had a big part to do with what your next year looks like, but this next year has a huge part to do with what the rest of your life can look like. So it's a great opportunity to resolve today to start new and apply wisdom. Sam, can you roll that video? And then I'll come back and make a few comments. The worship team can come up during the video. Thanks for your attention. I pray that this introduction to Proverbs series that we have here would, if nothing else, just grab your attention for what's to come. But set your hearts to wisdom, because it's a pathway to life. And if you choose not to go towards wisdom, by default, you make yourself a fool if you follow your natural tendencies. But God has a great plan for your life. And so I pray that God would help you pursue that. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you for this wisdom that is from God, and I pray you'd help us to apply it to our hearts, to integrate it into our lives, to put into rhythm some things that would make us wise in Christ. Give us grace so we might follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen.